Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, May 23rd. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's almost Memorial Day, the unofficial start of grilling season. Who am I kidding? I've had the grill fired up since New Year's Day. Today we host a Food Friday barbecue summit. Joining us is Bill Fletcher, owner and pitmaster of Fletcher's Barbecue Shop and Steakhouse in Longmeadow, Massachusetts. Also with us, Russ Mattson, creator of Fine Southern Barbecue at the Meadows Golf Center and All-American Barbecue in Margaretville, New York. We'll talk about different barbecue styles from around the country. Take your questions, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be back right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Yeah, it's a good day. Today on Food Friday, we talk barbecue with Russ Mattson and Bill Fletcher. Bill is owner and pitmaster of Fletcher's Barbecue Shop and Steakhouse in Longmeadow, Massachusetts. He says fire and cooking are his happy place. I'm not going to argue about serious endeavors like this. He opened his first restaurant, Brooklyn Barbecue, in 2012. In 2023, the universe brought him to Massachusetts. Fletcher's Barbecue Shop and Steakhouse features two full-ton barbecue pits made in Texas. Russ Mattson has been creating award-winning Southern barbecue at the Meadows Golf Center and All-American Barbecue in Margaretville, New York, for 25 years. He and his wife, Julie, travel far and wide, doing as much barbecue research as possible. All-American Barbecue offers slow-cooked, genuine, wood-fired Southern barbecue in the heart of the Catskills. And judging by what I'm seeing and smelling right now, the research is paying off. Give us a call at 800-348-2551 if you want to talk barbecue with us today. Or you can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Bill Fletcher, how you doing, man? Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm great.
And thanks for the toast to all. You brought cocktails and glasses.
Yes,
this is what are we drinking here, Bill?
This is a barrel-aged Boulevardier.
Cheers.
Made with Michter's sour mash.
Love Michter's.
Yeah, it's a great bourbon.
Best of luck to both of you.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you were in Brooklyn. What possessed you to go into barbecue in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I had this tiny little backyard patio, as you do in New York City, about smaller than this studio. And you can fit a bullet smoker in the back, which is like a kettle grill and a smoker.
Yeah.
And I just started doing it on my own, just experimenting, having fun. And that took off. You know, that was 15, 20 years ago.
And you know, what I've heard about Fletcher's Barbecue Shop and Steakhouse is pretty high praise. And the menu looks amazing. Thanks for bringing one. Russ Mattson, you all in position now, buddy?
Yeah, just been kind of putting spoons in place for a variety of barbecue sauces that we brought. And boy, am I looking forward to tasting some of Bill's finery.
Well, you know what? You guys could dig in as we go along. It's a little tough for me to speak and do a show while I'm eating. But I already tried these
sounds?
Brisket nachos and the burnt ends and...
Love burnt ends.
Yeah, and Bill brought that stuff. But we'll talk about all that in a little bit. Russ, tell me a little bit about your journey to where you are now.
Well, my brother was 13 years older than I. He attended college at the Texas A&M University. And so probably late 1960s, when he finally graduated, we road tripped down to his college graduation. At that time, we went to a place called the Salt Lick, which is a very famous barbecue at this point, but then was quite new, and tasted barbecue for the first time. Later on, while he was in the United States Air Force and stationed up in Fort Worth, I went to another barbecue up there, and I was like, what is this stuff? Now, had brisket at Angelo's Barbecue in Fort Worth. So when the time came and I made my move from Long Island to the Catskills, my accountant suggested that I should serve, hot dogs, potato chips, things like that.
And I was like, the golf course.
At the golf course, yes. There was no food there. I cut grass, pick up golf balls,
Okay. Yeah. What possessed you and your wife to buy a golf course?
Well, actually, I was an IT professional at the time and was assured that I was going to be able to work remotely at that. You know, this is in 1999, 2000. And so we had a what at that time I had fooled my wife into believing it was a vacation home, but in fact later became our full-time home, and subsequently decided that we were going to move upstate because my employer was going to allow me to work remotely. Well, I needed to replace my wife's income. I liked golfing, and figured, what the heck? I mean, this way, buy a nine-hole golf course and driving range so that I don't have to pay for range balls anymore.
Oh, that's awesome. So it's a lunchtime kind of course. Nine
yeah,
hole?
Yeah, it's a small executive course, 1,600 awesome. Yards, par 29, where golf is fun for everyone.
I went to one of those one time. I was visiting my uncle down in Florida. It was flat. Everything was easy. So, wow, this game is very simple. And then I did pretty well. And then a buddy of mine, year or two later, said, let's go golf. It was the nicest day of the year. We were over at the Troy Municipal Course, difficult. Everyone in the entire place was irritated with me because it was not as easy as it looked on that flat.
Well, golf is an easy game to play.
Really?
It's a really, really hard game to play well.
Aha.
So, you know, everyone looks at TV and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I can do that. And it's like, no, they're not playing the same game we are.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I could talk golf for at least another minute, but let's talk food instead.
Yes, and, you're right. You're right. You know, I mean, because, of course, the barbecue then evolved from having, you know, my accountant say, well, just serve hot dogs. And I'm like, no. I know exactly what I'm going to do. Because in 2001, there was no barbecue. I mean, people would tell me, well, you know, I'm going to barbecue this weekend. I was like, no. You're grilling. I barbecue.
Yes.
And so we brought the Lang Model 84 barbecue up from Nahunta, Georgia. We towed it up.
What's a Lang Model 82?
A Lang Model 84. Don't forget those last 2 inches.
All right. So
it was basically created from a, I guess, a propane tank by a guy by the name of Ben Lang at Lang Cooker Smoker. www.pigroast.com for all you out there. So in any case, we towed one up, and I started making barbecue because I knew that this was gonna work. And
had you ever done it before? I know
well,
you.
Well, I mean, I've cooked. I mean, and I was the only guy in my fraternity that knew how to cook, and so you know that's basically was my college education, was just learning how to cook for 50, 60 guys at a time. So you buy some books, you go on the internet. And you work it out. You do your reps, and you start rocking and rolling.
And it's been 25 years now you've been doing this.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, in competition, vending, catering.
Let's talk about competitions for a minute. Bill Fletcher,
wow.
You said, I think in our early correspondence, that you have done some competitions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're so fun.
My wife and I watch Barbecue Pit. In fact, we watched Barbecue Pitmasters for about 12 hours one rainy day a month or two ago, just straight up. It's such a great show. If you had to say, what style are you doing? I mean, the Pitmaster show, you got Carolina, Kansas City, you got four different Carolinas, couple different Texas. Yeah. What's your style?
I mean, barbecue is religion, so like wherever you're from is the only real barbecue to you. So when we set out to start back in 2012, We said, I'm not going to try to recreate anybody's favorite barbecue.
Interesting.
So at the time, we helped to coin Brooklyn barbecue. And what that meant was just an amalgamation of all the ethnicities and flavors that you experience just walking the streets of New York City.
That's a really interesting concept. And you made these burnt ends. And they're Thai burnt ends?
Did
you
Szechuan glazed burnt ends. Oh, yep.
Wow. Did you try one yet,
oh,
Russ?
Oh, no.
You
no.
should
yeah,
have one, it. Man.
Of course
there's,
I shall.
There's
I
just plates there. You and your wife... Russ, you travel all over the place. What styles call to you?
Well, you know, I have to say that, you know, I cut my teeth on that Texas barbecue, and I have to say that I lean towards that. However, you know, again, what's the name of the place? It's called All American Barbecue.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to beg, borrow, steal, whatever suits my palate. I mean, if I taste something that's really great, I'm going to figure out a way to reverse engineer it and hopefully do it even better than they did it originally.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Bill's going to want you to try his stuff then.
Oh, absolutely. No, okay. Stop. I mean, I give credit where credit's due.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, you know, Cuban-style black beans. You know, I spent a couple of weekends at a friend's house, you know, who I was going to college with. His mom and dad emigrated from Cuba. I was like, you know, please, can I have this recipe? I mean, they're serving them breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Cuban-style black beans, you know, from Mrs. Richard Parapar.
I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break here. Let's have some food, and then we'll get to the calls.
I'm starving.
Well, go ahead, man. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number if you want to talk barbecue with Bill Fletcher and Russ Mattson and me. And we'll check your emails as well at voxpop@wamc.org. Eat up. Lockbox is open, folks. Our fund drive begins Monday, June 2nd. We need your help to keep going. You can go to WAMC.org right now, make a pledge, any amount. We love to talk to you and we love to hear from you. Make your comments. 800-348-2551 is our number here on the show. It's Barbecue Summit. Pretty excited about it. We have Bill Fletcher from Fletcher's Barbecue Shop and Steakhouse in Longmeadow, Massachusetts, and Russ Mattson from the Meadows Golf Center and All American Barbecue. All right, so what did I just eat, Russ?
That was a smoked beef rib, kind of done Texas style, dry rubbed on the outside and slowly hot smoked on the inside.
That's so
funny.
I mean,
I find that meat just to be it's so amazing because of the marbling. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. There's so much fat, and of course at the Meadows Golf Center, All American Barbecue. I mean, at the conclusion of any of our YouTube videos, it is said that don't fear the fat.
That's the flavor mechanism. I mean, I got to tell you, this is fantastic. Now, I've already had Bill's brisket nachos, which is insane, and then these burnt ends. Oh. And you said they're what now? They're
Szechuan glazed.
Oh my God, they're so good! It's like this is a dream come true for me. Let's talk now. Funny, Russ. I said, what sauce should I put on this? And you looked askance for a moment. Now tell me about the Texas philosophy of,
well, yeah, of course there are plenty of places down in Texas. Kreitz's Market being one that I'm aware of in Lockhart, Texas. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing barbecue town. I mean, Black's Barbecue there, so many just right in Lockhart that, if you were in fact to go and you sit at the table, there are no sauce bottles or anything there. And if you were to ask them, you know, well, you know, where's the barbecue sauce? They're going to kind of look at you funny and say, hey, well, they might use a Southern accent as opposed to my New York
right
flavor, but they're going to say, yo, dude, you know, what's wrong with my meat?
Well, from what I understand, I just did a little research. There are four or five different styles in Texas alone, and I think some have sauce, right?
Yeah, exactly. Northeast, South, and West. I was actually reading about that myself in preparation for this show.
Really?
Yeah.
What else you got?
But so I'd say this would be Central Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so yeah, they will kind of look at you a little bit askance.
On Wikipedia, it kind of scared me a little bit. The South Texas barbacoa style.
Sure.
Where it's a whole head of a cow cooked underground.
Yeah, that could be kind of rough, but
I don't know if you should serve that over at the golf course.
You know, here in the Catskills, we've got plenty of guys growing meat goats, and I really, really want to work my way down into southern Texas and see how the heck they do that, because I've struggled a bit with them. They're kind of lean. Bill, have you ever cooked a goat?
We have, yep.
Oh, man, I can imagine. I have catered them, in, you know, from time to time. But I've never been really satisfied with the results. I mean, granted, the flavor's great, and my clients are really happy. But I'm like, man, somehow I got to figure out how to do this maybe better or see how they do it down southern Texas.
Yeah, I found that.
Or Kentucky.
You got to run a little hotter. It's like not as long of a cook and a little bit hotter.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So when you're in a competition, do you get to choose what you cook?
No.
No.
And now, there are categories. Everything is done, turn-in times on these intervals. So the whole thing is orchestrated, and you just got to follow the rules.
Typically, it's, you know, it's brisket, pork, chicken,
ribs.
I was watching a show, and I think it was Tennessee style, and it was all mutton. And I think it was
Tennessee. Well, it's common in Kentucky.
Maybe that was it. Yeah,
but perhaps Tennessee.
You might be right
again, because it seems like barbecue now these days has become more of an amalgam. I mean, I can find pulled pork in Texas, and I was kind of like, huh?
Yeah.
You know, you can find brisket, you know, in Carolina. It's like, huh?
Carolina's mainly pork, right?
Well, that's what they were known for.
That's what the word barbecue means in Carolina.
Really?
Just pork.
And they have the mop in Carolina, mm-hmm. right?
Well, especially on whole hog.
Yeah. I mean, that's sauce, right? You're just brushing it on, basically?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're trying to lower the temperature of the outside of that animal. You know, you're trying to allow for some of that evaporative cooling to happen so that it'll cook a little bit slower.
All right.
That'd be the physics of it, if you ask me, because I'm kind of a jock nerd.
And you guys, slow and low. We did some grilling the other day. We had a London broil, not an expensive piece of meat. And, you know, we threw some wood chips in, and we went very slow, very low, and this thing was tender as can be. So what happens when you cook something at a low temp for a long time?
Well, you just give all the muscle fibers a chance to, like, really relax when you go slow. So you're not shocking the fibers with any massive amount of heat. And so anything that has a bunch of fat is just going to slowly render out.
So that's what happened with these beautiful ribs. This was great. The number here is 800-348-2551 if you want to talk barbecue with Bill Fletcher and Russ Mattson. And the email is voxpop@wamc.org. Lori from Enfield, Connecticut writes in, "Oh, wow, I'm thrilled to hear the barbecue men on now. Bill, I'll be in to check you out. You're in my backyard." So there you go. This one from Ben. "I have an older, smaller Weber gas grill that needs a thorough cleaning, probably some parts replacement. I'm not confident about doing the job myself, but I haven't been able to find someone to do it, either an indie fix-it person or hardware store carrying the Weber line. I'd hate to replace the grill that has prepared so many great meals. Suggestions?" You guys don't do gas grills.
We don't do a lot of gas cooking. But
there are no hydrocarbons in our food. No wood.
Yeah, but just wood.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We use briquettes, although I will use those lump charcoal.
Yeah, well, of course you will in that kind of a grill. And I'd imagine if you kind of shoved all, either made a snake of briquettes around the perimeter, you could actually light up two or three of them and then have that snake slowly work its way around to try to keep that heat down. I mean, because as a homeowner, you know, time and temperature is all that barbecue is not rocket science. It's time and temperature. And the hardest part for a homeowner is trying to maintain that temperature, because a little bit too much fuel, a little bit too much air, and suddenly you're up over 300 degrees and now you're roasting. It happens easily. So there are many techniques that are available to try to maintain that 200, 220.
Is that where we want to be?
230, 240 degree temperature.
Yeah, 220 is pretty common.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
But you know what? I think we should
almost burned my house down on Mother's Day, so that's a different story.
For this rider with a gas grill, how about if we do this? How about we disconnect the propane, put some chicken wire over the grates, and then just start throwing in charcoal and turn it into a charcoal grill?
Ooh.
I'll tell you what. I like that thought, because, I mean, I was going to say, hey, go out and, you know, you can find burners. I mean, it's not a big deal. But, yeah, you know, frankly, I mean, homeowner propane grills, they probably don't have enough BTUs to do a great job on, you know, as a grill and as a barbecue. I thoroughly agree that I think metal mesh and then go to charcoal, because charcoal, if you're doing burgers or steaks and you really want something high temp, that charcoal is going to outperform almost any homeowner model of propane.
You know, we are in now, we do charcoal at my house, but we are now in the market for a new grill. It's a long and hilarious story involving flames 30 feet high and on my patio. Oh my!
I could share some.
Oh, I got it. All right. So we're looking at maybe one of these combo charcoal grills and smokers, but I have no clue how to use one of these smokers. I've never done. I'm pretty good with a charcoal grill, but never used a smoker. What's the trick?
Repetitions.
Just doing.
You need reps.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like anything else. I mean, my cooker, I'm sure, is going to be different than Bill's cooker.
Well, and Bill so has two I know how to ton pits.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I've got two, you know, trailer-mounted 84-inch Lang Model 84s. I mean, they're monstrous, and I know how much wood to throw in them, and I know when to give them air and when not to give them air. And so, yeah, I mean, I know how to run my pit. Bill knows how to run his, and you eventually, yeah. After a few, hopefully not too expensive experiments,
yeah,
will eventually figure out how to maintain time and temperature.
Well, it's very difficult on the charcoal grill to maintain temperature because yes. You want to get it hot. And then here's what happened. I'll tell you very quickly what happened, and then we'll go to the phones. 800-348-2551. So Mother's Day, bought a couple nice New York strips, got them ready, got some chopped brisket burgers for the kids, and some sausages. Did the sausages first, then did the steaks first. I don't know. But by the time I put the brisket, that's pretty fatty. You know, there's plenty of fat in there. This fire was hot, and these briskets started just weeping, and the flames were so high. I cooked. You've seen those Burger King commercials where they have the flame broil.
You can't cook.
This was like
direct.
The flame broil in hell.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable, and nobody was hurt. But I thought for a brief time I'd have to get a fire extinguisher.
So one way to avoid that is just to bank all your coals onto one side of your grill.
Exactly.
So you have space underneath it with zero, no fire underneath it. Nothing can ever catch fire.
Genius.
And then also when you're doing your steak, you know, then if the flame starts to get too intense underneath when the fat's dripping down, you just move it over to the other side.
We're joined by Bill Fletcher of Fletcher's Barbecue today and also Russ Mattson from Meadows Golf Center and All American Barbecue. You know, when you watch these, let's take a call or two because this caller's from Hawaii. Kimo, you're on. Go ahead.
Teach me.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. My brother-in-law gave me the number, and I wanted to share some cooking that we do in Hawaii.
Mm.
Ooh, teach me, Sensei.
Yeah. What we do is we cook underground.
Mm. Explain, Kimo.
And then we, pardon?
Explain.
Sure. This is what we do. We dig a hole in the ground, and we get a bunch of river rocks, and we have our own wood here. It's mesquite wood, which is very good wood for barbecue, cooking underground. And what we do is we go and harvest a pig, and then we marinate it. And then what we do is we use the leaves. We call it tea leaves and banana. And when the rocks are hot, after maybe 2 hours of burning, turns into charcoal and the rocks are red. And then we layer it out with banana stump so we can get some steam going. And then what we do is we lay our pig right on top of the banana stumps, and then we cover it with this plant called tea leaves. So we use it to cover it and banana leaves. Then what we do is we use burlap bags and then we cover it up and then we just throw out dirt right on top and we leave it maybe for a day underground.
Wow.
Hot damn, and that sounds good.
That's great. What sauce do you do, Kimo?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask us. And what else? What's the accoutrement?
There's no control. We don't worry about the heat because it will steam. Our sauce is salt, rock salt, and black pepper. And then when it comes out like barbecue.
Well, that's all. I think these guys are learning something, Kimo.
Rice vinegar, maybe? Rice vinegar, garlic?
Garlic. We
gotta add the garlic.
Garlic and a stomach. And then we add lemongrass.
Ooh, yeah.
Inside. And then we throw breadfruit, which we grow here. It's called ulu. And we put all the fruits that we can. And then we just bury it all. And we leave it in there for the whole day. Next day, we go over there and take the dirt off, take the matting off.
Yeah.
And it looks like you've been barbecuing all day on the fire outside.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Amazing. Must be tender and delightful.
Skin on, right? Skin on that hog?
Skin on.
Yes. Keep that fat inside.
It'll be crispy.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Now, have you guys ever tried anything like that?
I do whole hog, sure.
Do you?
Absolutely.
Do you go underground with it?
I have not gone underground, but
hey, Kimo, thanks
for
the call.
I'm really looking to do that.
Bill, how about you?
You know what it reminds me of? You know, in a New England way, it reminds me of clam bakes, which is basically the exact same thing with some seaweed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's seafood, but it's the same process. I think all over the world, people have been cooking that way since the origin of fire.
You know, I know you say that you've sort of made an amalgamation of different styles for your Brooklyn style, as you call it. But what's your favorite part of the country to get barbecue if you're going out, you're not cooking?
I mean, Texas is classic, right? But I personally, so you're never going to go wrong with a beef rib or brisket from a Texas pitmaster. But I really am currently on a vibe of Asian flavors.
Asian flavors on the burnt ends are crazy. I mean,
thank
it's
you
crazy,
very much,
man.
Yeah. We do a barbecue ramen at Fletcher's, which is a fan favorite. It's outstanding. We make our own pork stock with smoked rib bones.
You don't make a bad drink either, I must say.
Well, that aged Boulevardier has been in a barrel now for, I think we're up to 5 months now, and it really mellows it out.
I'm going to have to get a designated driver and get over there, I'll tell you that. Bill, Russ, when you travel with your wife, what is your favorite area to just, you're not cooking, you're just eating?
Well, at this point, I've spent quite a bit of time in Texas as my brother basically is adopted. He married the rancher's daughter, and so I'm down there quite frequently. I really, really crave – I want to find my way into the Southeast. I have not really explored Coastal Carolina's whole hog barbecue. I'm really looking forward to getting down there, but every time my wife and I want to drive down to Texas or Arizona, she always forces me to kind of just go direct southwest. And I'm like, honey, come on, can't we take the southern route this time, please?
I'm surprised neither one of you guys mentioned Kansas City. Too much sauce?
It's in the middle of the country. We just never get there.
And I don't know. I'm not into molasses. I'm not into thick, sweet sauces.
Really?
Not really.
I mean, it's the origin of the burnt end, right? So they know what they're doing, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, let's take a break here, and then we'll go. No, let's grab one more call. Joan in Schenectady's been waiting a long time. Hello, Joan. You're on.
Hello, Ray, and thank you, and hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
This is perfect before the break.
Okay.
My question is going to switch us up to imagine like a Venn diagram between barbecue on a small barbecue grill, but it has to be with the just actual wood.
Right.
And then vegetarian. That's kind of important to me. And what was the third part of the... Oh, cast iron. I like to... Like, I can do anything with onions in a cast iron saucepan on any size fire. But I need more ideas, please.
I would go with cast iron and fire. That's how I cook on my fire pit at home all the time.
Okay,
just
good.
Right over a live fire. And I would start investigating mushrooms, you know, like hen of the woods or oyster mushrooms, with some vinegars and oils and garlic in there. Let it soak in that smoke. That will be fun and satisfying.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah. Now, I mean, I've actually, you know, again, I worked in IT for the better part of three decades, and so ended up working with many, many people from India, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I have,
okay.
I'm still working on a method, but I want to serve a vegetable biryani.
What's a biryani?
Mm-hmm. A biryani it's a layered rice dish with Indian spices. It's layered with onion, rice, Indian spices, et cetera. I mean, and I'm trying to figure out how to do that in quantity. I need to explore a couple of restaurants, but I mean, I'm sure at home it would be significantly easier.
Mm.
It is somewhat labor intensive because of the layering. But you know, I had my team up one time, and frankly, they brought biryani with them because they were vegetarians.
Right.
And I tasted this, and I was like, my gosh, will this go well with meat?
All right, Joan, you want to finish up real quick here, and then we'll go to break?
Yeah. About the thing with the wood cooking is how to control the temperature well for something slow cooked like the biryani. And since I want the fire to go on for many hours, it's perfect.
Ah, nice. Well, Joan, have a great weekend. We got to take a break here. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Barbecue Today with Bill Fletcher and Russ Mattson. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's Food Friday and the first of two barbecue summits this year with Bill Fletcher and Russ Mattson. And I'm having a good time and the food's really good. By the way, very quickly, Bill, I see on your sheet here that you have a tequila tasting dinner. We can't do prices or anything, but tell us about that.
Yeah, we do. We do about maybe four times a year. We do like a special five course dinner with liquor pairings. We've done a couple bourbon ones, and this is our first tequila one. This is an exciting one because it's June 17th, so we're thinking like start of summer, so everything is fresh and bright. We have some really wonderful tequilas that are all additive-free. And when you start learning about tequila, which I am just at the beginning of doing that, you really start to learn about the craft and the care that these makers put into it.
Yeah.
So we have some neat tastings, and then a couple cocktails too.
What pairing would you have? What meat goes best with tequila? I never even thought of that combination.
Well, we're running everything. So we're doing a brisket bulgogi, which is brisket with like ginger and garlic and slaw in a lettuce wrap. And that has a charred sage and tequila cocktail.
Nice.
With it. We're doing a lemongrass poached mahi-mahi. And also a beef rib with chimichurri and bao buns.
Oh, that's pretty. It's pretty ambitious stuff. That's pretty good.
It's fun. It's a ton of fun.
When I grow up, I want to be just like you. Holy mackerel.
All right, Russ, on the menu at any given day at All American Barbecue, what's your number one?
Well, you know, when it comes to barbecue, I'm really of the opinion that, I mean, gosh, Bill, you just throwing out some amazing stuff on that menu of yours. But to me, it's all about the sides. It's all about the atmosphere.
You made smoked mac and cheese, which is the one thing I haven't had yet. Good?
It's delicious. I just had a taste of it. I loved it.
Yeah, well, you know, fresh out of the smoker, it's even better.
Yeah.
But, smoked mac and cheese. I love Cajun. I mean, I spent a little time down in New Orleans and, you know, jambalaya, you know, I love it. I don't know.
What's your biggest seller?
I love eating. Yeah, well, I'd say side dishes wise, it's got to be the mac and cheese. But boy, folks are just chowing down on the brisket. They love the beef.
So, how long will you cook a brisket?
Oh, geez. Well, you know, minimum 8 to 10 hours in the smoke, and then
200-ish.
Yeah, right about in there. And I mean, she might drop down a little bit. She might go up a little bit. Then. I use, and I don't know if I should even admit it, I use the Texas crutch.
You use the crutch.
What's the Texas crutch?
The Texas crutch is wrapping one's brisket to try to preserve the moisture within it. So I'll use butcher paper and just wrap that rascal up into a nice tight envelope and just let her sit in there at a little over 200 degrees.
Is that a no-no in a competition?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know if some people consider it a crutch. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care because it comes out tender and moist and smoky.
Yes. So I think Shakespeare once said the brisket's the thing, right? It doesn't really matter.
It is the brisket that really goes, though. I mean, frankly, I think that my, you know, my Carolina, the pulled pork is just, wow. I mean, nobody, frankly, I don't think anybody could touch my pork. I mean, I'm only sorry I didn't bring some in to give Bill a shot at it and say, yo, Bill, have you tasted better?
That was definitely just a challenge. Did you hear that?
I heard a challenge. I heard a challenge, man.
It's not a challenge. I like to get feedback. And I really, really, you know, want to know. It's like, you know, is my stuff as good as I think it is, or am I just blowing smoke?
I'll tell you what. You bring one of the 84-inch things up here, and we'll have an actual pitmaster's right here on the roof. And what could go wrong? The fire marshal won't care at all.
I don't know if I can get that 84-inch.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
We'll get a crane. It's fine.
Cooker smoker.
All right, let's grab
there.
A call here. And then I want to quiz you about something you said during the break. But let's go to the phones. We are joined by Bill Fletcher and Russ Mattson. It's barbecue today. Steve is in West Stockbridge. Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to share an experience. My son was driving down the road and found one of those smokers on the side of the road somebody was giving away, and he took it home. And he found out that the controller to keep the temperatures wasn't running right. So he just bought a new one and put it together. And then he went and got a little probe that's Bluetooth, which is really wonderful. And he's been smoking ribs and all kinds of stuff in there, and it holds a temperature beautiful. It's a pellet smoker, and it holds the temperature really close, and the food comes out absolutely fantastic.
I see some nods here, so I think you're onto something.
Oh yeah, the pellet smoker is definitely great for the homeowner.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, we have a friend who was a judge, one of those pit master judges.
Ah,
And my son took some of the ribs up to him, and he says, Matt, these are as good as I've had when I'm judging. These are just as good in every way. And you made them at home. He says, they are wonderful.
That's fantastic.
And he smokes big potatoes. Oh, they come out creamy. Beautiful, beautiful. You know, baking the potatoes in there.
Nice.
The only question I have is about chicken.
Okay.
And that is, I tried to smoke some chicken, and it chicken breast, and it dried right out. So I'm obviously doing something wrong.
What do you think, fellas?
Well, so if I was going to smoke chicken, what we do at the restaurant is we do half birds. So I take a 3.5-pound bird, remove the backbone, cut it in half, and then smoke it that way. And then you have a lot of fat. You have that skin that's holding things in. You have the thigh meat and the drumstick. And we'll do those probably for about 1.5 to 2 hours at 220. And those turn out real juicy. I think just a breast, like a skin off the bone breast in a smoker is pretty hard. You gotta give it. I mean, you could brine it, like a buttermilk brine might help. It's pretty hard to get that. That's really like a grilling fare.
Even a salt water brine. And for that matter, heck, when in doubt, wrap that sucker in bacon.
Wrap that sucker in bacon. Yikes. That sounds good. Hey, Steve, thanks for the call. All right, very quickly here before we get to a whole pile of emails. Russ, we were in the break. We were talking about the beautiful fat New York strips that I did on Mother's Day before the conflagration. And you said one thing.
Two words. Reverse sear.
I know what you mean by that, but I've never done it. Why is it a good thing in your eyes?
Well, first off, I own a smoker that holds 200-degree temperature really well and passes a lot of smoke. And so if you throw those steaks in there individually for half an hour to an hour, reach an internal temperature of about 100 or so degrees. Well, if you then present them to a really, really hot charcoal-fired barbecue grill or propane-fired barbecue grill, I wouldn't say you're 90% of the way there, but you're a long way towards having a wonderfully, thoroughly cooked, medium-rare steak by just searing it then on both sides, a minute or so on each
side. Really? So an hour or two, at low temp.
Depending on your temp, yeah.
Then sear it afterwards.
Exactly. Amazing. That's the reverse sear, and you're going to get a nice, even cook. Now, I mean, in the restaurant, I don't know. How do you do it, Bill?
Well, what I was going to talk about is at home, just on like a kettle grill, I would bank my coals on one side and then get those coals like hot and let them cool down a little bit and then put my steak on the cool side of that grill. Put your vents over the steak so you're drawing all your smoke, probably some wood chips too.
Yeah.
So you can do a reverse sear at home too that way.
Yep.
And that's not going to you're not going to go there for 2 hours. That's probably maybe 15 minutes there at the most. And then move it over to the hot side to sear it up.
The number here is 800-348-2551, and the email is voxpop@wamc.org. Scott writes in, beer can chicken. It's probably not on the official barbecue list, but I do chicken with a spicy mayonnaise rub that includes brown sugar, cayenne, salt, pepper, and paprika. The mayo helps to make it stick to the skin. 225 to 250 Fahrenheit for 5 hours, keeping the hardwood in a small area opposite the chicken. Any can of beer will do. Salt the chicken inside. This is from Scott, who is a member and a burning ember. And there's the picture of some of the chicken.
That sounds perfect. I want to come over.
Really?
Yeah, sounds perfect.
All right, Scott, you did
now,
it.
No, you know, though, I did read in an industry trade, I think it was actually the Kansas City Barbecue Society magazine,
yeah,
that they actually did the measurements. Because, again, I was a beer can chicken guy. I did it for years. And eventually it was determined that that beer can of chicken, that beer can doesn't really do anything, but it does help the chicken to stand
up. It
stands
up
nicely.
Right?
Yeah, it does help that. But the beer itself, not so much. I always thought that the thermal mass of that beer would then like slow the cook down a little bit, but KCBS scientists said, no, beer can chicken, kind of fictional.
Okay.
But
well, it seems to work out for Scott.
I don't poo-poo the results, though, that's for sure.
Barbecue, that's the subject heading from Michael. Butcher's paper or foil for the stall when smoking a brisket? Discuss.
Butcher paper, I would say. That's what you do, right?
Foil's more expensive.
But no difference otherwise?
I don't think so. I like them both. And again, the butcher paper is cheaper and probably better for the environment.
I would also just encourage, I don't wrap, so... Just try to make it through without wrapping anything. If you got a good temperature going, like there's really you shouldn't need to.
All right. This one from Fran in Gallatin. I looked in a Polish cookbook, says Fran, and to cook lamb it said to bury it for some time before cooking it. You guys ever do lamb?
We for a while down in Brooklyn we were doing lamb breast, which is essentially like a lamb rib.
Yeah.
But we did not bury that in the ground.
Okay.
No.
All right, that's an old Polish cookbook, I guess. Dave writes in, we live in Olive Bridge, and I struggle to find wood to create spikes. Apple, cherry, where do you get splits? Go ahead.
All right, well, first off, you know, while I believe that maybe there is a subtle difference in flavor between something cooked on apple and something cooked with oak or maple, maybe I just don't have those gajillion taste buds per square inch that are necessary to discern that flavor. I would side by side two pork shoulders and say, okay, you tell me what's cooked on what and if there's any difference.
Wouldn't it, though? I mean, the smoke is the thing, right?
Oh, it does smell. It smells wonderful. But to me, that smoke flavor, I don't know if...
I think there are a lot of woods that are similar.
It's
I think
subtle.
You're right.
Like, it's like very subtle.
All the fruit woods. But you know, you cook with hickory compared to apple, it'll be I think you'll have a different flavor on it, or mesquite.
Wow. I don't know if I could discern it, but then again, when somebody asks me about beer, I just say, how do you like, you know, what do you like? And I'm like, cold.
Okay. Well, you and I might have a discussion about that, but let's take a call instead. 800-348-2551. Blake is in Hopewell. You're on.
So I'm no expert at all, but I was curious what you think. I heard them talking about the poultry. I started spatchcocking poultry,
yes.
And it seems like it's my cheat code, and everything comes out better.
100%. You should always do it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you guys do it every time that way?
Skin up, meat down.
Skin up, meat down. Yep. You get that, Blake?
Skin up, meat down. I'll make sure I do that.
I figure smoke rises. I don't know. I'm just making this up as I go along.
Okay.
I haven't done that, but I will try it.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Rich in Queensbury. Rich, you're on.
Yeah, you know, I called. I love your show, this cooking show. I love to cook. I never want to do it for a living, but anyway, I called once before, and Rick Orlando was on and mentioned about a thing that I've done a few times. Bacon burger cheese dog.
What?
Where you take a hot dog, you wrap ground beef around it, and you wrap the bacon around it, and plus you got to add that little bit of cheese in there, too.
What do
it's
you think,
fellas?
It's a
heart stopper.
Hello?
Yeah, it's a heart stopper. That's Bill said.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean we do Sonoran dogs.
One hot dog.
Come a little closer to that mic, Russ.
Oh, sorry.
All right, Rich. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Go ahead.
Hot dogs. Sonoran hot dogs. You know,
go
down to Tucson. It's a hot dog wrapped in bacon and then served with an amalgam of different, you know, raw onions, jalapenos, all kinds of goodies in there, beans.
How much omeprazole do you go through?
Oh, my goodness. They're so good.
All right. So tell me
Chicago
a little.
Chicago dog, too.
Really?
Chicago dog's all the veggies.
Chicago style, yeah. We do that sometimes at the house. All right. We only have about a minute left here. Russell Mattson, tell us about how people can find out more about Meadows Golf Center and the All-American Barbecue and your hours and stuff and your website, et cetera.
Oh, thanks. Well, we are at meadowsgolfcenter.com. Is where golf is fun for everyone, but there is a connection to the All-American Barbecue there. But we also hold on to aabbq.com. We also have, a presence on Instagram, Facebook, we're also out there on the Meadows Golf Center and All-American Barbecue channel on YouTube, where you can go and see me say, "This is Russ Mattson from the Meadows Golf Center, All American Barbecue, located in the beautiful Catskill Mountains of New York," saying, "Don't fear the fat."
Bill Fletcher, Fletcher's Barbecue Shop at Steakhouse in Longmeadow, Mass. How do people find out?
The web is the best way for us. It's www.fletchersbbqshop.com.
Okay, well, listen, this was a dream come true, and I know we have another one booked in the fall, so maybe a little competition at that time, huh?
There we go. Let's bring our pits over.
Well, I mean, I'm always one to learn. It's like, come on with it. You know, I mean, anything that you can do, I'm gonna try to figure out how you're doing it. I love it.
Are barbecue guys competitive by nature?
I think it's not really.
The
I think
show
those,
makes
those
it
shows
seem
make
way.
It seem that way, but it's really much more of a community. I think everyone wants to help everybody else mostly.
Absolutely, but you know, for crying out loud, I mean, you haven't eaten anything.
All right, so the music is going to roll now. Russ, why don't you do your signature close before I do the underwriting? Go ahead.
What? You mean we're going to give you the end of the video?
Yeah, go ahead.
Closing in? All right. This is Russ Mattson from the Meadows Golf Center and All-American Barbecue, located in the beautiful Catskill Mountains between the villages of Margaretville and Arkville on Route 28. Now,
the show's
whatever you do,
okay.
Don't fear the fat.
Don't fear the fat, which was also a Blue Oyster Cult hit, and it was fantastic. Support comes from Hudson Farmers Market, Saturdays 9 to 1 at 6th and Columbia Street in Hudson, featuring Blue Star Farm, Happy Belly, Sparrow Bush Bakery, and more year-round. Hudson Farmers Market, NY.org. Bodywork Professionals, licensed massage therapist, Albany, Saratoga Springs, Niskayuna, Nick Pivaldi, structural integration practitioner, Rolfer proprietor, 518 Massage, or bodyworkprofessionals.com. And WAMC on the Road, WAMC's new programming initiative, bringing public radio in person throughout WAMC's listening area and face to face with listeners in their own communities. WAMC.org for more information. Well, thanks again to Bill Fletcher and Russ Mattson for being here. This was a good time, and we'll do it again in the fall. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Andrea Leong screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. No Vox Pop on Monday. Have a great holiday. We'll see you Tuesday. Talk Computers with Tony Yang.